will be free from bondage to work and his auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me and this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and come to me. Purport. One who acts in Krishna consciousness under superior direction is called Yukta. The technical term is Yukta Vairagya. This is further explained by Rupa Goswami as follows. Anashaktasya Vishayan Yatarham Upayunjata Nirbhanda Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagya Mukchate Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2255. Rupa Goswami says that as long as we are in this material world, we have to act. We cannot cease acting. Therefore, if actions are performed and the fruits are given to Krishna, then that is called Yukta Vairagya. Actually situated in renunciation, such activities clear the mirror of the mind, and as the actor gradually makes progress in spiritual realization, he becomes completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, at the end, he becomes liberated, and this liberation is also specified. By this liberation, he does not become one with the Brahma Jyoti, but rather enters into the planet of the Supreme Lord. It is clearly mentioned, here, Mam Upaishasi, he comes back to me, back home, back to Godhead. There are five different stages of liberation, and here it is specified that the devotee who has always lived his lifetime here under the direction of the Supreme Lord, as stated, has evolved to the point where he can, after quitting this body, go back to Godhead and engage directly in the association of the Supreme Lord. So here we're talking about someone is a school desk. No, it's okay. Sit down. No, please sit. I just thought it was funny because I haven't seen one of those since, you know. Sit. Shanti. Relax. No, sit on that. Let's continue. We're dealing with the principle here is that one is connecting everything to Krishna. As he's mentioned before, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Austerity here, that means we have the element that austerity is something difficult, standing on your toes or, doing something like that. But actually, austerity is performance of your prescribed duties. Because that prescribed duties is something that is according to your nature, something you like to do, but at the same time is because of the material energy, it will at times also be difficult. So to be steady, to be continuous in prescribed duties, that is going to be austere. Does that make sense? Right? Means any way in your dealings, one day you're happy, one day you're not. Right? So when you're not happy, one is not necessarily inspired to act. So when one acts, even despite that, that is austerity. Does that make sense? That you have to go to work. Some days you don't want to go to work, but you go anyway. That's austerity. Right? So austerity isn't something separate than one's duties that one is supposed to perform. It's not something else. So if that is understood, that means then whatever is the prescribed duties that you need to perform in your day-to-day life, if you're doing that in connection with Krishna, then the process works, you are purified. Because the idea is that it's connected to Krishna. That's what makes it important, not something else. So this aspect is that whatever you're doing that's connected, by that method, then you'll be freed from material entanglement. So this position of sannyas then is actually the performance of, how you say, one's activities for the pleasure of the Lord. Right? Renunciation means you perform an activity, the result you get is yours. It's your activity, you get the result. Then you give that away. That's renunciation. But when the activity is being performed, the result is already for the Lord. That's sannyas. So technically, sannyas is a mentality. Right? There's also an ashram there to make sure that we, at least at that time, get to the mentality. But the idea is, from the beginning, we should be in that mentality. Does that make sense? So that's always there. You always have, it's just like people should be careful and drive on the road properly. Right? That's the purpose. So just to make sure that happens, then they put a speed limit. Right? The point isn't the speed limit. The point is proper driving or careful driving. Does that make sense? So connecting everything to the Lord is the principle. Right? Then there's a method to see that one does that. Okay. Continuing. Anyone who has no interest but to dedicate his life to the service of the Lord is actually a sannyasi. Such a person always thinks of himself as an eternal servant, dependent on the supreme will of the Lord. As such, whatever he does it for the benefit of the Lord. Whatever action he performs it as service to the Lord. He does not give serious attention to the fruit of activities or prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedas. For ordinary persons, it is obligatory to execute the prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedas. But although a pure devotee who is completely engaged in the service of the Lord may sometimes appear to go against the prescribed Vedic duties, actually it is not so. It is said, therefore, by Vaishnava authorities that even the most intelligent person cannot understand the plans and activities of a pure devotee. The exact works are Taravakya Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Na Bhujiya Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 23:39. A person who is thus always engaged in the service of the Lord, who is always thinking and planning how to serve the Lord, is to be considered completely liberated at present. And in the future, his going back home, back to Godhead, is guaranteed. He is above all materialistic criticism, just as Krishna is above all criticism. So, this is the position we're trying to get to. Now, the question is now in here you're dealing with some principles. You're going to be working with the principle of that you're doing things in connection to the Lord. You're going to be performing duties, prescribed duties. You're going to be working for another person's benefit, right? That's a sacrifice. So ultimately that sacrifice is then for the Lord. And the austerities are in connection, that whatever one does is in connection with the Lord. So now, the element comes up is that is what we're trying to get to. So there must be some method that, in our present situation, we can be working on that same principle. Right? Whether we have that mentality, that is another thing. But at least, that is the principle we're trying to obtain too. Right? That's what we're trying to obtain too. So then that means that whatever one's duties are, that one is trying to see them in connection with the Lord. One is trying to follow the Lord's principles. So in doing one's activities, then one has to see it in this way. Generally, what's happening is we are actually following the principles of this in our daily life, wherever we're successful. But unfortunately, not actually understanding what we're doing, then we don't apply it to everything in our life. So that means, let us say, just take for example in our work. We're very successful at that. We do well. We know the field. We know how to operate that field. We know how to get the results. You know, so that works nicely. But the principles that actually make it work, we don't apply in other aspects of our life. right? Because when you're dealing with your work, even though you may be dealing with people or other things, that's not the point. The people aren't the point. The point is we have something we're trying to get done, something to accomplish. So we're accomplishing that. So if dealing nicely with the people is part of it, we will do it. But you still have another point that you're trying to do. So that works fine. But then the same effectiveness that we get our work done, we're not applying actually into our life, right? Because we have to remember is that creating facility isn't the life, right? You have a house, you have a car, you have clothes, you have a position. That's not life. That's the position that you're in that you're going to, experience your life. But if you don't interact with people, there is no life. Does this make sense? Husband is created, he has the house, he has all the facilities there. You know, the family lives in the house. Most will consider, now my job is done. I have been a good provider. I have been, but that's the provider. What about the husband? What about the father? That's a different thing altogether. That means you interact, right? The terminology couch potato is not actually said in a very appreciative fashion, right? It's something that means here's someone who's created a house and then just sits there and does nothing, right? How many husbands have heard the term from their wife, you do nothing? And he's thinking, what do you mean? I've done all this. What it means is you've created the facility for living, but you're not living. You're not interacting. You're not dynamic in relationships. Right? Does this make sense? So that means creating the field of activities is one thing, but actually living in that field, acting, that's a completely different topic. So that is what's missed. So we're very expert at creating the field, but the same principles that make us expert in the field, you could apply it into your life and your relationships with others. If you do that, you'll be successful also. Because it's the same material energy. But we tend to not. Right? Therefore, you'll see many times the professionals are very professional at getting things done. They're very expert there. They're the ones that make the world happen. But in their own personal life, nothing's happening. Because they don't understand, actually, the principles of how the energy is actually working. Right? Give an example. Okay, we're going to, let us say we take, you know, business. Okay, so now you have a business, you're in control of it, you know, you do whatever you want, right? So you can say, you know, you're the absolute authority, you're the authority in this business. But that's the position. You understand? As we mentioned before, you have your position or the field, and then you have actually what you do. So now, how does that business run? Just how you like, or according to what's actually happening in the market? Right? You're in tune with what the market is doing, then you can make business decisions and be successful. You don't make business decisions, and then the market, you know, dances to your choices. Does that make sense? So anyone that's successful in anything material knows that. You're skiing down the side of a mountain. You just ski how you like, or you have to ski according to the nature of the snow and whether there's rocks and trees in the way. You can say, I want to go in a straight line, but there may be about 20 trees there also. Does that make sense? In other words, even though there's the sense that I am in control, what does that control actually consist of? The control consists of you being sensitive to that field and interacting with the elements of that field according to their need. Does that make sense? You're going down the slope, there's a tree there. I mean, if you want to hit the tree, then you're lined up. But if you're not, you have to move. You have to move around the tree. Not you say, "Hey, I'm the skier here. Move, tree." It doesn't work. Does that make sense? Anything. You're driving your car, right? You're driving in the rain. You know, you just drive how you want, or you have to consider the nature of the car, the rain, the road, the traffic. So even though you're the one doing the activity, everything about it that's successful is insensitive to what's going on around you. Does this make sense? So all this makes sense very nicely when we're dealing with things or getting something done. Because when we're getting something done, we basically turn even people into things. Right? So it works very nicely. The problem is when we apply this to people directly as a relationship. Because now if we take the same logic, apply it into the house, how will this work? Right? Now we're getting to the scary part. That means then the husband, he's created all this thing. That means when he comes home, he interacts with what's going on in the house, not with what he wants to happen. You know, he deals with his kids where they're at right now, this second, not where he'd like them to be. And he has to deal with it according to what actually works in the relationship. Does this make sense? So this is the problem. Is we understand actually how to make things work, but when it comes to relationships, we won't apply it. In fact, generally we use the opposite. That's the most fun part. So this understanding that you have the field of activities, then you have to operate the field. Right? And that field, whether it's sentient or not, responds in the same way. Whether it's an economic consideration or whether it's a personal consideration, it still functions in the same way. It's not a different method. So in the Vedic understanding, this is there. Therefore, then everything can be connected. Because it's acting according to God's laws. God makes it act like that way. So the idea is then performance of one's prescribed duties means just as expertly as we do our profession and create the field of activities that we have our life in. You have to apply the same rules on your actual life. Then you can start to find how to connect it all to Krishna. Because otherwise, if you're not, you're in illusion in your relationships, right? Because that's where it breaks down. Right? So it's easy enough, okay, I work, I take some money, I use it for Krishna consciousness, you know, I have some free time, I study, I read. That works. That's not the problem. No one has a problem there. The problem comes is the relationships don't work because you don't apply the same principle. When the relationships don't work, that takes a lot of emotional time. And then when that's there, there's no time for Krishna, because you're still trying to figure out what's going on, what happened to the relationships, so one's needs in that department aren't happening. Why? Because one's not performing one's austerities. Does that make sense? So, therefore, the idea is that we're trying to get to this where we're not even really so worried about the interaction in the material world, because we're only interested in Krishna and that interaction. So we're just interacting with devotees on the devotional platform, the spiritual platform. But to get ourselves there, it's the same principle, is that you're taking your prescribed duties in your day-to-day activities and performing them without a desire for the result. Because if you want a result, that's when you don't get it. When you just perform the activity you're supposed to perform in that field, that's when the result happens. Right? Does that make sense? you know, like you said, in martial arts, you know, if you're thinking about what move to do, it's already too late. Right? So in other words, when you're performing your duties, you're just absorbed in the proper performance of the activity. Then it works. It's the same in relationships. What should I be doing now? Not what do I feel like now. Does that make sense? Because if you worry about what I should be doing, what is that doing? That doing is for the other person. Right? And if you're working for the other person, things are going to work out. But if you're worried about what's happening for you, you're not actually thinking about the relationship. Does this make sense?
Can say
it louder?
When we react to the situation, that is a reaction. What about proactive?
What about proactive?
Proactiveness.
So what proactive? What? So how do you define proactive?
Proactiveness.
I mean, it's a good word. Everybody uses it now. It's, you know, you can throw it around. It's really a nice word. But what does it mean? You're taking the initiative.
Yeah, you're taking the initiative.
Okay, so there. That does it. We don't have to explain more.
No.
I mean, I can't hear him. I think everyone else can hear him. So proactive. You're taking the initiative, but what is that initiative going to be based on? Right? What is that based on? You? What is it going to be based on?
You have something in your mind.
You have something in your mind, but what is it that's in, and you want to achieve something, but the point is what is that achievement in connection with? It's just you?
Could
be anything, but it could be anything, but it's not. What is it? Do you understand? See, you have to get by. Yeah, if it's not related to God, then it will be you. But even in just in normal dealings, you're being proactive. Okay, let's take it, you're being proactive with your wife. What does that mean? What is it going to be based on? Proactive means you take the initiative in the relationship, right? But what is it going to be based on if it's a relationship? It's going to be based on you? See, this is where the problem comes. If you were at work, what would it be based on? Let's say you're looking at some stocks on your computer and they're moving one direction or another. What's the initiative you're going to take? You're going to buy or you're going to sell, right? But what is it based on? Just anything? Right? The market's going up, so you sell short, right? Or do you sell long? By law. You understand? You're going by what's happening. It's not you. It's the other person. It's the other entity. So being proactive means you take the active role in acting according to the needs of the other party. That's proactive. That's what the man is supposed to do. And that's what he's not doing. Therefore, when I explain all this, the men are sitting there with dumb looks on their face, and the women are all with smiles and nodding their heads. Right? Because you'll apply this if it's dead matter, or you're trying to get something done in the way of economics or your sense gratification, then you're going to apply this very nicely. But when it comes to people, you just don't apply it at all. What does that mean, proactive? Proactive is this. You're coming home. Then proactive means when you walk in the door, you don't have a plan what's going to happen. You have a plan what's going to happen, that means you're not proactive, it's all about you. You walk in the door, proactive means whatever mood the wife's in, that's what you respond to.
Or maybe in this example, the proactive thing, you come up with something that your wife likes.
You come up with something your wife likes, but what if she's grumpy? You know what I'm saying? If she's grumpy, then it makes her more grumpy.
That doesn't stop me from bringing something that she likes.
It's there, but the point is you're missing the point. It's not about you and your brain. It's about your relationship with the other party. That's the point. That sensitivity is what's required in relationships. You want relationships? This is what it takes. You have money. You have all these other things. Why? Because you do this with everything else. But when you walk in that door at home, you stop doing it. You understand? You know, friends, relatives, you stop doing it. Therefore, it breaks down. Why aren't families working? Why aren't friends going on? Why aren't all the things happening? Because it's not working. Business is going on. People are making tons of money. They got nice cars. They got nice clothes. They got nice houses. I don't know what they cost here, but I was just in Australia. Everything costs $1 million a house. An Australian dollar is basically the same as an American, so it's the same. It's very expensive, but there's not enough, you know, waterfront houses, and we're talking about thousands of them, and people are trying to buy them. So I'm saying is, when it comes to the material, it's happening. But when it comes to actual relationships, it's not. Why? Because we're not connecting. It's the same thing. 2 + 2 = 4. But 4 + 4, you use the same principle, you get 8. So that's my point is, we're very intelligent, we're very professional, you know, in that, but the same principles we're not applying at home. No, at home it should happen the way I want. Always at work all day, you know, very tired, so I want to sit, but that's you and your house. You sit on the couch, that's a relationship between your backside and the couch. It's got nothing to do with your family. Does that make sense? Your family means you have to interact with them. Does that make sense? So only in this mentality can you then start to connect everything to Krishna. Otherwise, you'll connect your chanting, your reading, coming to the temple, giving a few donations. This you'll be able to connect. You're not going to be able to connect everything else, because you're not dealing with it according to the same principles. Right? You want to be successful in business. With the business, you have to be humble. Maybe not with everybody else, but with the business, it's according to the business. How the market's moving, that's the way you work. You know, you're in fashion. How the fashion's moving, that's the way you go. Does that make sense? You know, you want to run, you know, a very classy, you know, restaurant. You know, very high-grade food. So you're going to open from, let's say, 9 in the morning till 11:30 in the morning and close, right? Or you're going to run from 9 at night until, you know, why? It's easier for you in the morning. You just get up, you know, have your breakfast, then you go and cook all the things, and then, you know, close away lunch, you have the afternoon free, and then you can go out and do whatever you want, go out at night for parties. You know, it's great for you. Is it going to work? Yes? No. Why? Because you have to go according to the market. So you use all these great qualities of humility, tolerance, patience, you know, perseverance, all these nice, nice qualities. That's why you're successful. But when it comes to your personal relationships, you don't use any of them. And therefore, your life breaks down. And when it breaks down, your Krishna consciousness also suffers. Does that make sense? So proactive you're supposed to be, but you have to understand what proactive means. You make a plan based on what's happening right now. You make a plan for the, you know, the hour that you're driving home. When you get home, when you walk in the door and that plan will work, great, but what happens if it doesn't work? You walk in, your wife's crying, your plan doesn't work. So now what are you going to do? Get upset, you spent 1 hour working out this great plan? No, you work on what's happening right now. You adjust. Yes?
I don't think you should only think about men, because women have expectations of the rest of the world.
Yes, but the whole point is the women have the expectations but who is the one that's supposed to work with it? Both are, that is there. But what I'm talking about being, taking the active role, the wife has the, what she wants to happen, but who's supposed to take the first step? She's submissive, it's just like this. Okay, let's look at this. You have a parent, you have the child. The parents are the authority, so they're the senior. The parent, the child is the junior. But now, the child's crying. Who's supposed to work the problem out? I'm saying the parents, not the kid. Does that make sense? So that's okay when the wife is chirpy and all that, and she may be more active and all that, but when she's having a bad hair day, who's supposed to work it out? The wife can work it out herself, or does she need a husband for it? You understand? So right now, the bigger problem is the men. You know what I'm saying? The wife then is making her own endeavor to be satisfied with what kind of a field the husband's created. You know, and in this way, if she's satisfied, then that makes her happy. If she's happy, she's at her best. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. It's not the body, but the problem is you think you're the mind.
Yeah, but we're supposed to be getting away from it.
You're supposed to be getting away from it, but how are you going to get away from it? You're going to get away from it by acting. You're not ignoring it. Yes, so what is the mind trying to do? When you wake up and you're grumpy, it's trying to cause you pain, but no, the mind wants to be happy. Like that. But what happens is when it's not happy, then it's unhappy. So when there's insecurity, then there's a problem. Does this make sense? When there's insecurity, then there's going to be pain. For a man, disappointment or anger will come when he's frustrated in the accomplishment of something he's trying to do. For the women, they're going to be frustrated or angry when there's any sense of insecurity. Right? So the point is, if the woman's dependent and the man is independent, that means it's the man's business to see that the woman is comfortable. It's the woman's business with his endeavor to make her comfortable, that she actually can be made comfortable. That's the submission means. In other words, he's making the endeavor. He can get you this house, so you have to be satisfied with it, because that's all the better it'll get. This is all he can afford. This is all he can arrange. This is all he can maintain. If you decide you want, you know, a 10-bedroom house, you're going to be miserable. So that's the endeavor, but he has to made the endeavor to the best he can make the arrangement. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that's the duty, that's the austerity. Now, why is he doing that? It's not because, I mean, he may be motivated in the beginning, or the wife is motivated in the beginning, because then they'll be happy in their family life. We start from that principle. But the point is that beyond that is, one is distracted from Krishna, direct devotional service, because of these things. Therefore, you're going to work with these things in connection with Krishna. Right? And so then austerity, sacrifice, charity, these things must go on. So austerity, one has to perform one's duties. One's a husband, one's a wife. One performs those duties. Sacrifice means it's being done for someone else. Sacrifice means that voluntarily giving up the result for someone else. Right? So these are principles that Krishna's given. We're using them at a lower level because our consciousness is at a lower level. and our consciousness is absorbed materially. Then, as we become purified by this, we start to see that it's actually performing these duties for the other person, that's more nice than the result I'm trying to get. Like that.
Can everyone move forward a little bit so we can make some room for people in the back?
Is it? Does that make any sense? Mataji?
Yes.
Yeah? So in other words, it means it's true, but that's what's the thing we have to work with. You know, it's just like we go into the kitchen, we want to cook for Krishna. So the point is that the devotion of which we cook, but when we walk into the kitchen, if there's a potato there, then what can we do? We have to do something that you can do with a potato. Right? If we walk in the kitchen, there's a cauliflower, then you do something that you can do with the cauliflower. So the point is that we want to serve Krishna, but we have to deal with our mind and the state of it that it's in right now. Right? By doing that, then we're aware of it, we're dealing in knowledge. And from that, then we can move it forward. And then, because of that knowledge, we can improve the quality of how the mind, you know, is thinking and desiring. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Something else?
So how can we stay connected?
By trying to find some way or some aspect of what we're doing can be brought in line with Krishna. Right? Either through the result of it, the results go for Krishna, or the method we're using is recommended by Krishna, or the philosophical aspects of it that, you know, it's all working because of Krishna, the ability we have to do it is because of Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So we're either seeing the physical, the metaphysical, you know, the spiritual, some aspect we're seeing in connection with Krishna. So as we do that, then it will start to come to what's described here, is that they don't worry so much for the physical or metaphysical anymore. They function purely on the spiritual. Does that make sense? Something else?
In my experience, it seems that there are certain things that you can and possibly should change, and other things that you should work with.
Some things you should change and some things you should work with.
If that's true, first of all, how do we tell the difference between one and the other?
What you can change and what you can work with. Like there's some, I don't know, some. I think this is at the AA or something like that.
That's
they say
I'm
that
trying
every
to
day.
That. Yeah, you
yeah,
accept the things I cannot change.
Change and the things I can and do and give me the intelligence
to
tell
the difference.
Yeah. Yeah, the point is that we have duties. Those are performed. Then, in other words, if there's something there that we find is not ideal, then through intelligence we understand that, then we try to make adjustments. If that works, that's the easiest, right? Because if there's a problem, you just get rid of it. If understanding that and we make the adjustments, it still doesn't work, then you have to work with it. You know what I'm saying? Like you say, okay, I have an attachment for or something, so that's foolish, so I should give it up. If I can give it up, great. But if you're not, then you have to find some way to connect that to Krishna. That way it gets purified. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Then as it becomes purified, one becomes freed from it. Then once one is freed from all these different things, one has nothing of the world that one's attached to. Therefore, there's not any need of performance of duties. Because duties are in connection with our attachments of this world. Right? Then you're performing your duties simply to please Krishna. Right? And that's the point at the end, Sarvadharma Parityaja, that you're giving up all these varieties of religion or duties because you're trying to obtain something. then it's a matter of you're performing them simply to please Krishna. Like Yudhishthira and Arjuna, they don't have to perform duties as Kshatriyas. They're eternal associates of the Lord, but they do it to please Him. And just like Krishna has no duties in the world, but He performs those duties, you know, for pastimes or interaction with His devotees.
I think so. I mean, you I'm think thinking so? Of, I'll give a specific example.
Okay, then it
so
works better.
There's a, let's say there's a relationship between boss and his, someone who works for him, one of his employees.
Okay.
So, the...
You want to know if you can get rid of the boss.
Yeah, right. there may be a certain circumstance where the employee notices something about the way the business is operating that, you know, they have another idea. Maybe it would work better this way.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the relationship should work is the boss is in charge. They have the idea. You go.
Right.
But, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is there are some circumstances where we step out of these roles. You know, is it appropriate to...
Oh, is it appropriate to step out of the role? Can you all hear? Huh? So he's saying it's just like, let's say you have someone, you're working for someone, you're an employee, the boss is there, you have some, the boss doesn't have an idea on something, you have one. So then is it appropriate that you step out of the role as behaving like the employer and you come up with this idea? So would that be adjustment in your, how do you say, performance of your duties?
Right, I mean, because the one is you just accept whatever's, you know, the boss's idea, you go with that, you know, maybe
okay.
It's not working or it seems like it's not working. But then
okay.
The other is, you have some idea to see how...
You'd be proactive.
Right.
What does it mean, what is the duty, what does it mean to work for somebody? So there's four aspects. One is that you're a well-wisher towards who you're working toward, for. Right? That in itself could answer the question. Second is, you'll deal properly with them. Right? Third, you will deal properly with anybody connected with them. That would mean, you know, other employees, you know, or their family, whatever is connected with them. Fourth is you try to understand what's the mood that they're trying to project. Right? So in that, the whole idea is service. So if you come up with an idea, the idea is because of your well-wishing for their success, because means, yeah, because that's the one is the duty. Two, if they're successful, you become successful. So you're presenting it, but the difference is how you present it. Because if you're presenting it as the employee who is looking to his benefit, then it will be done in a humble way that's very nice. He can take it because it is a suggestion for his benefit. But if we step out of the role and that he's the business guy, and he's not thinking ideas, I'm the employee, but I'm thinking of ideas, then your presentation will have attitude. Even though it's a great idea, there's a good chance he won't take it, or he'll fire you and then do it. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is the mood, because the mood goes along with it. So then, if that's there, then it was that. But having presented it, if he takes it, great. If he doesn't, then you've done what you can do. Then you just go by what he says to do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, so then it makes it easy. Then the relationship is strong. If they understand that with time, there'll be more trust, they're more likely to listen. Because they feel they're in control. There's no insecurity that I'm not in control. Right? And, you know, then they can see this person is coming up with nice ideas for the benefit of the business. He's not trying to, you know, he's not on some trip. And then they'll start to listen more. Yes.
It's interesting that to illustrate the power of the relationship, the most successful businesses such as Google encourage the flow of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
Why they become so successful.
Yeah. You get on here? Yeah. So the idea is because that's the natural relationship, that's the natural means that if you're in charge and you're taking care of those junior to them, that means you're also considerate of what their mood is, what they need is. At the same time, as it's very clear who's boss and who's not. That's many times the difficulty in situations where one has moved away from more kind of traditional situations, is that this ability to run two seemingly contradictory aspects at the same time. You know, if you're in charge, how is it that, you know, others are giving you ideas? Right? They seem contradictory, but they go together. It's natural. You know, just like the parent will ask the kid, oh, what would you like to eat? Right? They're in charge, they can do whatever they want, but, you know, what does the kid want to eat? Then he'll say something, and then if it's appropriate, then they'll act. So, same way as they'll say ideas, if it's appropriate, it'll be used. If it's not appropriate, it won't be used, and thank you for it, and move on. But, does that make sense? So, relationship means that you're working these two ways, you know, as Marcus is pointing out, you have these both sides. So, both have to understand the position and then how to interact. Then it's dynamic. So that then means you're understanding this God and his creation, right? So that, in principle, is how everything functions, right? There's something that's independent, there's something that's dependent. So whatever you apply it into, then it works. So in this situation, in the workplace, then the boss is the independent one, the employees are the dependent, but there's an interaction. So as soon as you apply relationship to the field, then it improves. Otherwise, if it's just a field, you can operate it and get a result. But the difficulty is it may not be very nice personally, right? And if that's a problem, then one's not actually being very analytical about one's life, because it's your life that you're trying to connect to Krishna. Right. Means your things also you connect to Krishna, but that's the easy part. Right? More difficult is to connect yourself to Krishna. Right? Yourself, you know, is not all these external things. Right? Is that okay? Anything else?
So how do you connect yourself to Krishna? How do you not just your activities.
Yourself means see there's an overlap here, because it's actually the same thing when you're dealing with things or dealing with people, or dealing with the situations or dealing with people. It's the same thing, but we're making a distinction, because many times the mistake is made is I'll deal with the situation, but I'm not actually dealing with the people in the situation. Does that make sense? So it's actually the same point, is that whatever you're doing, then you understand why it's being done, how it's being done. You know, so how it's being done, why it's being done, who you are, what you're dealing with, those things are what you connect to Krishna. Because all you have is what you're dealing with, you know, which includes yourself, what activity you're performing, and what result we get. Right? There's only these three categories. So these you're trying to connect. Does that make sense? If you connect who you are and the result is for Krishna, then generally your activity will be correct. Right? Does that make sense? But if you don't know who you are, then it makes it very hard to perform the correct activity. Right? If you don't know what a knife is, you won't be able to use it properly. You know what a knife is, you know what your hand is, you know what the potato is, then you can get some efficiency, you can get something done. Does that make sense?
When you say who you are, do you mean as servants of Krishna?
When I say who you are, do I mean as servant of Krishna?
In relation to Krishna.
I mean, that's the main thing. When we say who you are, you're dealing with four aspects. And the most important is the soul. That is servant of Krishna. The other three is, what is the physical situation you're in? What's the mental or emotional situation? What's the intellectual? So therefore, the physical, the emotional, the intellectual, and the spiritual. These four are counted as self, atma. So the spiritual, that's always the predominant. But the point is as we are conditioned, we tend to take the other three sometimes more seriously. Because we're in the temple how much of the time? And how much of the time are we not? So by volume, the other three take up a lot of time and space. So if we can connect those also, then that means, you know, like if we're able to come to the temple for 2 hours a day, that leaves 22 hours that it's not necessarily connected. So we can understand the functions that are going on there, the needs that are going on there, that gives us, now we have 22 more hours we could be engaging. It's not direct like chanting our japa or that, but it's indirect, but it's still connected. Does that make sense? So that's the idea. So we're just trying to create an awareness that we can expand our devotional service by going into the realms of those areas that aren't connected to Krishna and we are not about to connect. You know? Does that make sense? Oh, okay. Makes too much noise. But he had, it says do not touch without authorization. So he had authorization, but still he didn't touch it.
I have a lot of people very fearful of me.
just going, raising the eyebrow. Well, it's a whole different environment. Yeah. Some other questions? Or? Yes.
The examples that you're using before about the business and the family, I was thinking that you can work the market because you have some selfish desire to make more money, and you
right.
can, you know, work the family because, you know, you see that that's how the energy works, and you, you know, want things to be peaceful for yourself. If
right.
this is what I have to do in order for things to be peaceful, then, you know, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we come to the point of, as you were saying, doing it for someone else's benefit, or, you know, someone else's, but that.
Okay.
Exactly.
Could you hear? No? Okay, so he's saying is that, okay, we gave examples of business or family, so one could have motive in that, that one, you know, works nicely with the business because you want the result, and nicely with the family because you want that result of the peacefulness in the family. The point is that we're seeing here is that there is why you're doing it. That's the result, right? So that you can adjust, okay, I'm doing it for myself, then that naturally is not so great, so I do that for Krishna. But then the point is doing it for Krishna, what does that mean? So you have to, the activity then becomes the focus, right? You know, if I was thinking, okay, I have to deal nicely in the family, then everything will be peaceful. But that is, you're still looking at your position or the result you want to get. I will behave nicely because then I get the result. But my point is that there were no words in there that actually dealt with the activity itself. You know what I'm saying? The thought didn't include the consciousness or focus on the activity. You understand? It was like, I'm good, okay. If I behave like this, everything goes crazy, I adjust that, then everything's peaceful because I like peaceful. Right?
Right?
Isn't it? That's why someone gets married, is to be peaceful, right? Yeah, that's the whole point, right? And some go to the Himalayas, some get married, right? And that's like that. So the point is that it's the activity, because that's where the sharing between the two is, right? It means if there's you and there's a result, where is the meeting point of that? Right? It's like you have night, you have day, where does it meet? At the twilight. Does that make sense? So it's in the activity that the relationship is actually expressed. You know, I can think this or I can want that, but where's the expression? The expression is doing it. Does that make sense? So if the emphasis is on the activity itself, does that make sense? If it's on the activity itself, then it starts to, then it changes the whole mood. Right? Because the experience is generated out of the activity. You know what I'm saying? You can think of what I would like to get or what I've had, but the present experience is out of what you're doing now. So even if I'm thinking, oh, I would like to do this, what's happening now is a thinking process, so some experience is gained. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if you're focusing on the actual performance of activities in the relationship, you know, according to the austerity, means what it is your duties, that will generate the experience, the positive or negative experience. Right? If you're doing it properly, it'll be positive. If you're not doing it properly, it'll be negative. Does that make sense? So you're taking it actually away from yourself into the activity, therefore duties. Duties are something that's done. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Then, when you're working in there, if you've understood I am servant, then in there, then you can work on the next one, actually who the result is for.
Okay.
Why should the family be peaceful? Because it's just, we're only into that, everybody else likes it crazy or something, you know, spice it up, right? No, because God's point is it should be peaceful. Right? So in other words, are we making it peaceful for ourselves, or are we making it because that's how God expects family life to be? Because if family life is peaceful, then you can be Krishna conscious. Family life is crazy, a little more difficult. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that way then you make this step by step where you move it up. In other words, you're going to start with basically your lowest level, but you have to have a method to connect it. So that's what I'm pointing out, is that we'll change our identity, we'll change the result, but we're not focusing on the activity itself, because the activity, the only one we know is, you know, direct devotional activities. But what about just, I speak to my wife properly, therefore it creates the right result. You know what I'm saying? So we're not counting that as part of the whole devotional circle. It's not direct devotional service, but it's indirect, because by doing this, then the family situation is such, then it's easy to be Krishna conscious. So we've connected it like that to Krishna. But it's still the same proper performance of duties, you know, with the mood of sacrifice. Does that make sense, sir? Something else? No? Kind of hit a dead end on this one. Okay. And we'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.
Thank you.